Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Pride Month, and we're highlighting stories of queer families. I'm Bridget Bergen, in for Melissa Harris-Perry, and this Wow, this is Brenda Rae singing with the Seattle Opera in 2015 and making very clear why she's one of the most sought-after singers in opera today. Melissa Harris-Perry spoke with Brenda and her identical twin about music, family, and pride.
Brenda, you've had a pretty big season, two roles at the Met, Queen of the Night at the Royal Opera. How are you feeling? What's it been like for you?
It's been pretty go, go, go the whole time. I love my job so much, but my life has to be all about balance. And now I'm back with my family, and it's feeling like it's coming back into balance a little more, even though I leave in 5 days for another work trip.
Now, Brenda, I want you to introduce someone. You've got somebody with you. Will you provide us a bit of an introduction?
I've got my twin brother, Drew Klinkert, with me. He is the absolute best. So there's his introduction.
Drew, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me here with Brenda.
So you are the absolute best. That's a pretty great introduction.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm the second best. I came out second, so it's something that I've learned to accept and I feel really good about, because she is really also the absolute best.
Okay, so do you two do that twin thing where, like, it matters, the matter of moments, seconds, you know, maybe minutes, you know, who is oldest?
Gosh, Brenda, what would you say? Do you ever hold that over me?
Do I hold it over you? I mean, I think we hold it over each other depending on the situation. I am a minute older, and it is very clear that I'm the older twin.
Yes, absolutely.
Drew, as much as you all are doing really like standard twin stuff with the older, younger, you also are doing some maybe less standard twin stuff. Tell me a bit about your transition story, Drew.
Yeah, well, I think I've been, you know, thinking more about it, especially, you know, time of year, it's like all about pride and my identity and how growing up in my family shaped that, and like being able to recognize a trans identity when also being like so very accepted and loved as whoever I was. So, you know, having a twin sister is sort of like an extra mirror in the house. And I say that because like one of my earliest memories is like looking into a mirror and being, and like conducting a fake interview with myself about what it was like to transition. I was like 6 years old. It was clear that I felt different than my sister did, or at least we didn't talk about this. And it just sort of came out, you know, I was like, oh, sort of the tomboy twin. And I think that's a pretty common, you know, like growing up trans story when you don't have the language to speak to your identity. And even though I knew I was like, I could do whatever I wanted to do in my life, that my, you know, family was accepting, like it didn't really matter if you were a boy or a girl or something else, you got to be who you were. And so having those supportive conversations was great. And then it got to be a point where I was like, but something is still missing. And it felt, I talked about certain things with my sister about, you know, things that I wanted. Like I remember it was a lot clearer to me that I wanted to get a top surgery before I started like having a trans identity. It always felt, I was like, I'm gender queer. That works with me. And so when it finally hit that, I was like, you know, no matter what, I think this is me. I'm going to start asking people to call me Drew. I think I'm going to start taking hormones. And then you take that risk and you hope that your family follows. And luckily they did. My sister's been incredibly supportive, as have my folks. But man, it was an interesting, I do think it was interesting to have a twin sister we were very similar, I would say, and have similar interests. I also went, I went to music school, and we have very similar singing voices. And that gave me a lot of value. Like I felt a lot of pride in my voice and my singing, and was a little, you know, well, considerably nervous that my voice would change and that I wouldn't be good anymore. But it turns out I am still a worthy human being, and my sister and I still get to sing together, and I really like how we sound. So that connection has been maintained.
So your singing voice changed, but still is in harmony with your sister? Or did it not change, your singing voice?
It did. Oh, yeah. My singing voice changed. And it actually, I think that it just got harder to sing. Singing, I think, has always come pretty easy to us. Mm. And now if I want to sing without getting tired, I have to actually practice and know how to use my instrument.
Brenda and Drew, this is so profoundly unfair, and you can totally say no, but I don't know if there's like a song you all sing together or a verse that you often sing. I'm sorry, Drew, you got me like thinking once you said, oh, we're still singing together. Now I want to hear it. I would love to hear you two sing together.
Let's see. Do you want to try something though? Do you want to sing some Both Hands or something? Or
Both
what?
Hands. Yeah. Let's sing Both Hands. Yeah.
Give me a pitch.
No, I want you to give me a pitch. You're the professional.
I am walking. Would that be good?
Sing, and then I will like come in with the mic off, yeah, just so I feel relaxed, and then sure, I will let you know when to stop.
I love it. It's such supportive sibling energy there. But of course, syncing up singing over Zoom, that's hard. So Brenda and Drew sent us a little recording of the two of them singing together the last time they were in the room together.
For the love I've fallen on in the swamp beyond the storm, what a mischief you would bring, young darling, when the onus is not all your own, when you're up for it before you've grown. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
We'll be right back for more of our conversation with Brenda and Drew in just a minute.
From the phone forever gone, in the towers of your honeycomb, I'd have tore your hair out just to climb back, darling. When you're filling out your only form, can you tell that it's just ceremony? Now you've added up to what you found. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Bridget Bergen, in for Melissa Harris-Perry. We've been celebrating Pride Month by featuring queer families like Brenda Ray and her identical twin brother, Drew Klinkert. Let's continue listening to the conversation Melissa had with the twins about their connection to music and to each other.
Brenda, I want to come to you because I'm wondering, as an identical twin, what it means. In both cases, you are a sister, but a sister, initially, perhaps you're thinking of the sister of another sister, right, of an identical twin, and then you become the twin, identical twin, of someone whose gender identity is different than what you first expected.
Yeah, this might just be a very personal way of thinking about it, but I've never had a real identity with having a sister. I think the one of the special things about having a twin is that the word twin is non-gendered. So it really doesn't matter to me, like what gender this person has. What matters is that they feel right in their gender. And so the fact that Drew has now discovered, like, oh, this is actually who I am, that feels right. It doesn't change our relationship. I think people might expect things differently when they see, you know, a boy and a girl twin versus two girl twins or two boy twins. They expect that relationship to be a little different. But Drew has continued to be my twin, and our relationship hasn't changed. We're incredibly close. We have, I mean, I think people, when they meet us, they don't know that we're identical. They're a little like weirded out, like, why are they so similar still? And they're, but they're not identical. Well, we are identical. And so I get to educate people a lot, like in a gentle way, of course, always. But yeah, I remember back when we were growing up as twin sisters, it was, to me, I knew that Drew never liked to be the stereotypical girl. And I, not that I like being a stereotypical girl, I was just never exactly bothered as much by the stereotypes that I was kind of shoved into by society. Like, I'm like, yeah, I can be a princess. I remember one year at the Parks and Rec department, we were crowned park princesses at the end of the summer. And Drew was like, I'm not a princess. And so this has never been a real surprise to me either, but it doesn't, for us, it has never really mattered if it's a surprise, because Drew is my twin, and he's going to continue to be my twin, and I'm going to love him and continue to have that same kind of close relationship with him, no matter what really happens in our life.
Going back to that princess thing, that's a really important moment in, I think, our twinness, and like just going different ways. Cause yeah, to be a princess, to be royalty in the Parks and Recs department, you got to go to a restaurant. It was Chi-Chi's. Mm. We got to go to, well, they got
Chi-Chi's.
Yeah. And I refused to go. I was like, absolutely not. I am not a princess. So I did not go. And she came back and she told me it was wonderful, and she got to eat fried ice cream. And I was like, yeah, that's too bad that I missed that, but I made the right choice.
Brenda, where would you rate Drew telling you about his desire to transition and the clarity of his identity among the things that that have been revelations for you?
It was a gradual shift. For a long time, I knew that he didn't really feel like he fit into one certain gender. But when he finally did ask me to call him Drew, I think it was on our 29th birthday, we had a conversation. I was in Bordeaux, France, and I was like, Lola, how was your birthday? And he's like, great. I would like you to call me Drew now. I was like, oh, cool. Okay. I was like, you've liked that name for a long time. Great. But he still wasn't asking me to use male pronouns. That came, was it just a few months later, I think, if I remember correctly. So I feel, even though I tried to communicate to Drew that I was always going to be there for him and accept him as he was, I think there's probably a lot of nervousness even. It's a big moment, and yet it wasn't really a big moment, because it felt like it was always coming. And I remember feeling happy that he finally felt he knew who he was. As a twin, worrying about her twin, you know, as we do about loved ones, I felt much more at ease just with who he was as a person, just because I knew he felt better about himself.
Drew, did you feel afraid or nervous to tell?
Yeah, absolutely felt nervous. And just because I knew I didn't have all the answers right now. It would be gradual. I'm like, okay, so today I'm going to ask you to call me Drew, but I don't know about pronouns right now. Like, don't change anything right now. Like, that's not something I'm feeling ready for. And then, you know, a few months later, I'm like, yeah, you can start using different pronouns with me. And that continued for at least a year with, you know, everybody that I knew. And I wasn't saying, please use these pronouns for me. I'm like, whatever is okay. But then finally I was like, yeah, I'm ready to say, this is what I would like you to refer to me with. And that felt good. But when you, yeah, it's sometimes there's like a pressure to know everything. And because it is such a big change, and when we're just, it's a big change in that we use language to, you know, communicate. And I think a lot of people want to respect, you know, me and other folks when things change, and they want to know what, okay, please just tell me what to do. It's like, yeah, I'm trying, but I don't know. So please be kind with me. And, you know, I had the the luck to have Brenda as my twin. And she was always very kind with me and walked with me as I was, you know, ready. She didn't force anything out of me.
It is Pride Month. I'm wondering what the two of you are hoping people will take from your stories.
I think back to when Drew transitioned and talking to the rest of my family about it. I remember some family members were worried about Drew because they hear these stories about a lot of trans people experiencing a lot of depression and suicidal thoughts. And that is absolutely true. But what I tried to express, I was like, well, this is huge for them. If we let them express themselves as they truly are, and we're there to support them, it's actually going to improve their mental health vastly. So I think that's the message that I want to get out during Pride and every month, is that we just need to be supportive of who people are and make sure they know that we love them as they are.
Yeah, I feel lucky that I feel safe enough to give Brenda permission to share like that I am trans. You know, she has a very different job than I do. She gets to talk about that in different circles. And I think that education is really valuable. And I'm super, super grateful that I feel so safe and that she loves me so much and wants to talk about me. So this Pride Month, we're, you know, just sharing the stories that intersect with ours.
Drew, Brenda, thank you for being yourselves. Thank you for giving us so much. Thank you for joining The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.